It was grow at all costs. I spend $1,000 and I yield $1,000 in revenue. And we acquired customers. And cool, that's great. But we didn't make any money. Mm-hmm.
What's up, Millionaire University? Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. It's me, Kirsten, here to share with you another phenomenal episode. Today we have Hemant Varshney, who is the owner of Digicom, which is an award-winning advertising agency. And he is on here to share with us some of his unique strategies and approaches when it comes to getting your offers and your products to convert and to reduce the cost of acquisition when it comes to selling your products, selling your services. His advertising agency really focuses heavily on paid advertising. And I asked him to break some of these strategies down for us so that we can start to implement them into our own businesses. But there are so many things you can learn and implement right now if you want to explore the world of advertising. We go into what's more important than the actual ads themselves, which is understanding that there is a whole big picture to look at when it comes to selling products online. It's never just if you have the right advertising, it's all of the other pieces. And his agency focuses very heavily on making sure that they can get your costs down by looking at all of those tiny elements and making sure that the big picture comes together for you to have an incredibly high converting sales funnel. So it gets nitty gritty. We get into the technical and you're going to learn a lot on this episode. So get ready to take some notes. Class is officially in session. Let's go. Hello, Hemant. Welcome to Millionaire University. So excited to have you here today and excited to see what we're going to be able to learn from you in terms of what you do in your business and how you have created success for yourself in this amazing online space. Thanks for coming on and being willing to share with us.
Kirsten, thanks for having me on. Really hope some of the insights that I'd love to be able to provide will help entrepreneurs out there that are listening.
Absolutely. So give us a little bit of a rundown about your journey as an entrepreneur. We're here on the Millionaire University podcast. It's not necessary that you be a millionaire, but I know that you've worked with millions of dollars, generated millions of dollars in revenue. So just give us a rundown of where you started and what your business looks like.
Keeping to the theme of education, I started off 16 years ago in digital by watching a bunch of YouTube videos, YouTube University. Yep. And basically the challenge that I was posed with was, here is $500. What can we do with it? Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I learned, watched some videos, built a website on GoDaddy, then started running some Google campaigns, which in turn led to new business. And then from there, really pursued a career in marketing. I worked at American Express. I worked for Jim Cramer down on Wall Street at thestreet.com, where I rose to head of growth. And then from there, went to a startup, worked with a ton of different startups, understood their challenges in marketing, and then started consulting, which eventually turned into Digicom.
Cool. Awesome. What would you really define your specialty or the focus within that space that you have narrowed in on?
What we focus on is growth and performance marketing. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to acquire customers profitably for our clients. And to do that, and you know, for everybody that's listening and building their own business, whether you're just starting out or you know you're a few years in, understanding your break-even point on media is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And there are so many businesses out there that don't know their break-even points.
Yeah. So if the primary focus is helping people do that profitably, that's probably changed a lot over the last several years from what it used to be when you could just turn on a sales funnel to now where there has to be so much more nuance to it. So what has that looked like in your journey of working with clients and what adjustments have you seen necessary?
Sure. So I think I'm going to answer this question in a couple different parts, right? So first part is pre-COVID. It was grow at all costs. I spend $1,000 and I yield $1,000 in revenue and we acquired customers and cool. That's great. But we didn't make any money, mm-hmm. right? In fact, we lost money, especially if you have a product or servicing cost, right? Cost of goods, shipping. So now we take that a step further. I spend $1,000 and I made $2,000. Right. So your return on that ad spend is $1,000 you made, the first thousand. So on the $2,000, the first $1,000 is going to pay for your ad costs. Mm-hmm. Right? You're left with $1,000. What is your cost of goods? What is your operational cost? Right. Is it $500 or is it $1,000? If it's $500, then okay, you made a $500 profit. And can you scale that further or can you get a higher yield? Mm-hmm. If it's your other costs baked in, is instead of it being $500, it's $1,000. Now you still made $0.
Yeah.
As a business, there's no profitability. If we look at the landscape pre-COVID, it was grow at all costs and eventually we will make some money. Mm-hmm. And through COVID and now, it's what is profitability? What is that number we have to hit? How do we understand that for every dollar I spend in digital, how can I make $2, $3, $4 back? And does that $2, $3, $4 cover all my other costs so that there's a profit margin like inherently built in so that now I can take that money and reinvest and keep growing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Just looking at the two different time periods, before grow at all costs, now it's about profitability, especially as inflation has rose, right? VC money has dried up quite a bit in the sense of people aren't just investing at grow at all cost companies, mm-hmm. right? They're not looking for unicorns that bust. Mm-hmm. So that's something very, very important to call out. And then also, like, you had all these bank failures that happened last year, which impacted startups that had money in these specific accounts that they got bailed out, but that impacts cash flow, right? So if you're starting from scratch or you're still in your journey, it's just important to understand and have a proper P&L of this is how much it actually cost me and this is how much true revenue yield occurs so that I can take this money and reinvest it back into the business and keep growing.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you guys listening who might be new to a lot of the terminology, I like to just break it down for somebody who might be very first time stepping into the online space, P&L, profit and loss. There's a lot of those acronyms that I've been in the business a long time and I would hear them and be like, I don't know anything. I don't know what that means. And so that's a huge key factor in what you do within your agency is really helping to know the numbers. And I think that's a really important shift that has happened in the online business space is for a while, it was like an ATM. You could just put your thing in and you'd get money out. And it was really, really easy to make quick money by turning on an ad. And now you've had a lot of businesses, small and large, who have completely flopped because they didn't take the time to know their numbers. And data-driven marketing is so much more important than fad marketing. And I think that's, I love that we're going that direction because it's more predictable, it's more responsible. So you work with businesses of all shapes and sizes. You've worked with Fortune 500 companies. What would you recommend to somebody who's maybe at the beginning of their journey, somewhere, you know, in the first few years, if they are exploring using ads or they're really trying to up the ante when it comes to getting more clientele?
First thing is use all the free directories out there, right? You can use Yelp, Google My Business, sign up to all of these free platforms before you even start spending any money in media. Create an account on YouTube, create an account on a Facebook page, an Instagram page, a TikTok page, you know, create all of these different pages and sign up to these directories, get content in there. It's very important. People buy from people. Mm-hmm. It's very important. Tell your story. Talk about what you're solving for. How are you different? And all of this is, it's a time allocation and effort allocation, right? You can do a lot of this in Canva for free mm-hmm. using like the free plan, right? And build all this stuff out. Now, once you have this base set up, next thing is get reviews. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're doing business, try to get people to leave product reviews, service reviews. Again, people buy from people, right? Before they're purchasing from you, they're doing some research, right? If you're buying shoes, for example, you might do research on, hey, are these good running shoes or good for walking or, you know, something of that nature. So you having the content out there allows individuals to go and find things out about your product mm-hmm. and get testimonials that will help that purchase decision occur. Mm-hmm. So now you have your base set up and you're like, hey, I'm ready to turn on paid ads. You've run your profit loss statement. You understand your break-even points and where you need to be from a return perspective to be profitable. Mm-hmm. The next thing is, what's your budget? You understand your P&L. What is your budget? Your budget might be $3,000 a month, $5,000 a month, $8,000 a month. You might have raised some capital and it might be, we can spend $25,000 a month, $50,000 a month, right? Mm-hmm. You get that information. And then it's very important to work with a professional that is out there to hit the goal that you've defined. Mm-hmm. For example, you could have businesses out there that say, we only care about awareness. Mm-hmm. So the only thing they care about is how many video views they've gotten, how many impressions are out there. And those are great metrics, but they're most likely, you can't relate a one-to-one of this is how many purchases that, you know, happened.
It's like a billboard. It's great. It gets you exposure, but we can't really measure it. We don't know what the return on investment is with a billboard unless somebody tells us.
Exactly.
I came because I saw the billboard or I saw the specific ad. It's just, it's more work to figure it out.
Yes, exactly. And so you have that goal, and then it's important to define protocols to measure against that goal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, your KPIs, your key performance indicators, your goal setting along the way. So very, very important to do. Now, for the brands that are like, okay, I'm ready to turn everything on. I understand my P&L. Cool. You know, there are agencies and consultants out there that are really good and really bad. They're two ends of the spectrum. It's in every business. Mm-hmm. The data is very important. So if your ad budget is $5,000 or $25,000, where are you spending that money? Is it on Google? Is it on Meta? Is it on TikTok? Why are you spending the money on these ad platforms? Mm-hmm. How are you measuring your returns, right? That's all very, very, very important. And so for us, what we're really good at is we are highly quantitative people on our team. We have a creative team, yes, but everything we do is derived in numbers and percents and lifts and how we're getting people through the funnel. So an example of this is we spent $100. We got 100 people to the website on that $100. Your cost per click is $1. Mm-hmm. And 10 people made a purchase. And so your conversion rate on 100 people is 10%, 10 divided by 100, mm-hmm. right? And your cost to acquire a customer is $10 as well, because we spent $100 and we yielded 10 customers. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the revenue yield per customer, right? You have an average order value, AOV, that we want to measure, and say it's 20. So you made $200. Mm-hmm. Your ROAS on this, return on ad spend, is 200 divided by the $100 investment, which comes out to 2. If you know that your ad spend and all of your operating costs, everything is baked in, so the $100 and your cost of goods operating is $50, you have $50 left over. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important to break down the funnel and understand where you stand, where the industry typically stands. You might say, oh, this is great, 10% conversion rate, mm-hmm. which is actually very good for almost, you know, for most businesses. But let's just say the industry average is 20. Mm-hmm. All the other metrics are the same. So, okay, what do I need to get to 20% in terms of conversion rate? Typically, a lot of that happens on your website. Do I have a pop-up that is deploying, and when people see this pop-up, are they, you know, leaving your site? Or maybe your checkout button is tiny, mm-hmm. and people are scrolling for it on the phone and they can't find it, so they just bounce.
Yeah.
And so we want to improve those metrics. And the data decision-making that is occurring is, how do we get from 10% conversion rate to 20% conversion rate? And if we get to 20% conversion rate and you converted 20 clients, you know, at $20, you made $400. Mm-hmm. And so what we do very much is we break down all of the different parts of the funnel. We're understanding from a quantitative perspective and a qualitative perspective. And then our team gets to work. We are helping design some of these new landing pages, mm-hmm. right, where people hate their site. Or we are helping launch new ad platforms. Say you were just running on Meta and it's, let's get on Google, and Google fundamentally works different than Meta. You know, having the right experts or team to help you run these campaigns are very, very important.
Yeah. Even as you're talking, I'm thinking about how there's a lot of agencies, and I mentioned this before, there's so much that has changed where you either know the stuff and you continue to grow, your agency grows because you really have taken the time to understand all of the pieces and all the moving parts. Or if you were promising on a fad where it was a specific type of ad or it was a specific type of trend, and those stop working and you don't know all of these micro details, then you're not going to last. And I think there are a lot of people who can go out there and say, oh, if you just fix this one thing, that's going to solve all your problems. When I know from experience, and I know that you understand, it's how all the little pieces work together that contributes ultimately to whether this funnel is functioning and converting. It's not usually just any one thing. It's, you have to pick apart every little piece to get success.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, with that, it's important to continuously test, right? All our budget, maybe you spend $10 testing 10% of the budget, right? And why that's important is because what has been working for a long time isn't always going to work because there are market shifts that occur. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, different, our language is evolving, how we're interacting with people are evolving. And so if you're continuously testing to find, okay, this is the next creative that will work, this is the next headline that we're looking for that might work, mm-hmm. you might find something that operates much better than, you know, your champion. Mm-hmm. You might, most of the times you won't. Sometimes you'll find things working at the same level. And then you'll, you know, as you're testing through, you find that next unicorn ad that mm-hmm. gets your yield from what you're currently running at to something better. But that's only going to last a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. right? So it's continuously testing and iterating and testing and iterating and understanding what your goal is and what you're trying to improve.
Yeah.
Very, very important.
Yeah, I ran ads, I guess it was probably during COVID time, 2020, and I had a unicorn ad and it did so well. And so I just kept funneling that and it was making lots of money and it was like a low ticket offer funnel even, and it was very profitable. And as soon as that ad started to fatigue and it wasn't doing as well, I panicked. And I've had this kind of tendency to do this in business where I have a cash cow, it's working. And then as soon as it stops working, I get freaked out. And instead of getting into the data and saying, oh, this is obviously a proven product, this is doing well, this sells, people want this, now I just have to figure out how to reach more people and change the strategy a little bit on the ad, I just shut the whole thing down. And I regret that so much because, and maybe you guys do this, it sounds like you just said this, do you recommend most people who are running ads, they have their primary thing that's generating all the revenue, but you always have some kind of a test campaign going on the side so that you always have more new things to plug in as soon as this one fades out or market yep. shifts happen?
Exactly. You know, once a week. And as those market shifts are happening, what are the market shifts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, there are a bunch of TikTok videos that, I'm this, so of course I'm going to do this. And that's a cultural shift that kind of occurring with these types of videos. And, what if I made a video like this and tested, mm-hmm. right? That could be a test. And so it's staying on top of trends and understanding where the market is going and, you know, continuing to develop and being creative. You could be super quantitative, but understanding these trends, maybe you're not the one creating the video. You ask somebody that, you know, could do a good job at it and you develop that asset and you test it in market. Mm-hmm.
Where do you find the balance with your clients? Because they're obviously paying you. Is the primary thing that you're, I know that you diagnose and you look at all these parts, you may be building new landing pages and that kind of thing, but do most of your clients lean heavily on ads to generate the revenue, or are you also pretty proficient and spend a lot of time on organic content marketing?
DigiCom, we are a growth marketing agent, you know, focused on performance through paid.
Okay.
So mostly ads. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the realm where the businesses we work with live in. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Okay. And I think that there's people who tend to hang out in one camp or the other. I know everybody's social media that they consume is a little bit different. I've been down the rabbit hole the last few years of like organic is superior to ads, or for a while it was like ads are way better. I'm finding myself in the middle where I've tried the organic route. Making content is extremely exhausting. Do you find that just simply staying on top of those trends and obviously creating more fresh content, probably more often than we used to have to 4 or 5 years ago, where you could leave the same ad on for an entire quarter, now you're having to just refresh that ad content, but it's still time saving over having to create new pieces of content to 8 to 20 times a week?
I think they both work hand in mm-hmm. hand. There are times where you like there is an organic ad that, you know, that's been created is going to take off, and that's going to help drive overall around brand awareness. And so more people are hitting your site, more people are Googling you. They might be Googling keywords that are in your category that you're bidding on that's getting folks to your site. Mm-hmm. That's one end of it. The other end of it is there might be a period where organic isn't working as well as you hoped for, mm-hmm. right? But paid is really running the show. But before those folks are making purchases, they're looking at your organic, you know, so they work hand in hand. And brands want both to be running at 100 miles an mm-hmm. hour, 100% like hit rate at all times. But you need to diversify your strategy, right? And again, it all goes back to that goal, right? And so you had brought up a point of, do I create more content more often? The algos on a lot of the ad platforms have gotten better, right? It's, yes, we run interest targeting tests and we have interest campaigns, or keyword campaigns, but the creative now leads more like lead conversion over just targeting. And that's just the algorithms have gotten better. Yeah. They have more data, right? There's AI enabled into the algorithm, which has always existed. They've just gotten smarter. Mm-hmm. And so pumping out creative and pumping out content, content is king, and testing through and understanding what the baseline is. Are we hitting the baseline? Are we above it? And plugging them in both fashions. If a creative is working really well in organic, it has a ton of engagement, comments, likes, take that creative, throw it into your paid. Mm-hmm. And if something's really well in paid, take that and throw it into your organic. Yeah. Like, you know, you can, it doesn't need to be siloed. They should work together. Mm-hmm.
We'll be back right after a word from our sponsors. More and more entrepreneurs and investors are discovering the awesome franchise opportunities that exist across a variety of industries. Franchising can simply be the better path, and interest in franchising is at an all-time high. Lucky for you, John Austinson, founder of FranBridge Consulting and a past Millionaire University guest, is here to help you explore the premier franchise opportunities today. John and his FranBridge Consulting team are part of the largest franchise brokerage in the U.S. and have vetted the market thoroughly. FranBridge is hands down the premier source for the best opportunities in the franchise world, including both active and passive opportunities. From tiny homes to youth soccer to industrial hoses to pets, senior care to mental health, and more. John has served as an Inc. 500 franchisor and is a multi-brand franchisee himself. And he does more placements than anyone else in the country. Sign up for a free consultation call with John today or get a free copy of his book, Non-Food Franchising, at FranBridgeConsulting.com. That's FranBridgeConsulting.com. Available in the U.S. and Canada.
Well, and I think I'm sure you run into this a little bit as an agency owner where people are like, fix this. Here's my offer. Here's my funnel. Just come fix the thing. Tell me what to do. Yep. And you can outsource content. There's definitely so many creative ways to do it. But it sounds like, and what I've seen evolving over time, is it is more of an attention, interest-based, content-centric algorithm where you have to know your person. You have to know what's going to grab their attention. You have to get somewhat proficient in content creation, even if the only thing you really use it for is ad to boost things. But I have a friend who has a fashion-focused brand on Instagram. She doesn't sell her own products. It's all affiliate marketing. She has gone viral over and over and over again with a very simple format. She finally found what works. She puts ads behind that. She's gone from 120,000 followers to almost 400,000 followers in less than a year because she's just lighting fire to something that's already working. And I feel like that does require you to find what works and to be willing to be flexible when it's no longer working and keep adding more things.
Exactly. And like kind of going back to Millionaire University, all of these successful folks aren't just setting one thing and saying, okay, it's good. Like not learning, like it's university because you are continuously learning. That's your life. You know, what's the next thing that's happening? Why? If something didn't work, it's not because it failed. It's only a failure if you can't come back and say, oh, I didn't learn anything from this. What did you learn from it, right? And then how do you evolve and keep going and building a plan? And that's very, very important. And how do those plans stack up against your goal, your ultimate goal? So similarly with your friend, I'm sure she's learned a bunch of things. She's like, oh, you know what? Let me test this one thing, put some money behind it. And it's like, oh, wow, look at the growth. And you know, now the affiliate commissions are probably going through the roof and making a ton of money. Yeah. You got to test and learn, and not everything's going to work, and that's okay. But as long as you come out of it and saying, I learned X, Y, and Z, you're positioning yourself to become more successful.
Yeah. So your agency works with all types of platforms. Sounds like you've mentioned TikTok, Google, YouTube. What are you finding right now? And I know this is subject to change, but what are you finding? Is it just dependent on the offer, the product, the brand? What platforms are ideal? Because do you feel like there isn't a one size fits all, but how do you usually look at your client and know where they should be positioning that organic and that paid content?
Sure. Okay. So from an organic perspective, because it's free to upload, mm-hmm. like that's, you know, that I'm always in that camp. And yes, you need to learn each platform and how to upload and tag things and use the proper alt text tags and everything, but it's free. Upload it on a paid side. So you could have clients in the same industry, similar products, but they operate so fundamentally different from a paid side, right? So we always like to be on Meta, Facebook, like Facebook, Instagram, and then also run ads on Google in conjunction. Mm-hmm. But the way we're running ads on Meta can be unique. We can have direct-to-site ads. So you see an ad from a brand, you click on it, you're able to get to a landing page. We like to run content influencer-based ads or UGC content ads. And that can come from one of your customers. You can make it in-house. If it's an influencer ad, it's whitelisting and running the ad from that ad account. Mm-hmm. And then we also run advertorial-style campaigns where we write articles on brands and we drive traffic to it and you link out and you're able to purchase. And so what makes this unique is we're leveraging all three different distribution strategies across the different ad platforms. Mm-hmm. And there are certain times a content like advertorial will take off. There are other times where influencer will take off. It's our job to be on top of the numbers and understand what's working and why and where to adjust the budget so we can get the highest yield. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. And then Google, right? You could run search campaigns, display campaigns, video campaigns, shopping performance max campaign. And so we're breaking down if it's search, is it a branded keyword, right? Branded as in it's your company name, or is it in the category? Eczema cream, for example, mm-hmm. right? Like your skincare brand might make eczema cream, but people don't know your skincare brand. So they're looking for eczema. Those are like, so what we're constantly doing is we're like, we have a split we like to go into market with, or we understand if you're already running ads, we understand that split. And then based on the data and the tests we're running, we see how we're going to shift that split between all of these different attributes and campaigns to get the highest mm-hmm. yield.
Okay. Wow. So really,
so not one size fits all.
Yeah. Definitely not one size fits all. And if I'm just thinking about the layperson who might be coming into this, they're starting to make some money. And I'm curious your opinion on this. At what point do you feel like it's right to start putting ad spend? Should they validate the product, the offer, the service, whatever it may be, before turning on ads? And if so, at what point do you feel like it's, and I know you mentioned you need to know your numbers, you need to know your P&Ls and how much you have to work with, but do you... Yeah, I would love to know your opinion on that.
I think there is a world where we used to live in where it's product market fit and it works for the general masses, mm-hmm. right? And I think today we are in a world of channel market fit. So in a product might do unbelievably well on Meta and bomb on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And so it's understanding, does each channel work for you really well? Mm-hmm. And how well? There are other brands that run predominantly TikTok, or there are brands that are like, hey, we're only going to sell on Amazon because like the audience is here and the intent to purchase is here. And, you know, we don't get the same yield on Meta, but what that person might not maybe consider, right, is that, okay, you're driving a ton of sales on Amazon. That makes sense. But if you drive ads on Meta, are you profitable? If the answer is yes, it's a channel you can run on. And is there an inherent lift that occurs on Meta versus on Amazon? And when I say lift, it's Meta is also doing a lot of awareness, mm-hmm. like, you know, for you as you're targeting. So you're sitting, you're scrolling, you see an ad. You didn't ask for this ad, mm-hmm. but it's like Meta knows you're in market for something. It's like, oh, this is a cool product. I get to the site, I get to checkout page. Oh, shipping is $5. Let me see if they're on Amazon. So you jump on Amazon. Like now do your Amazon sales go up? Like it's all very, very connected. And I think where you start is dependent on your product. Mm-hmm. But instead of looking for a general, hey, product market fit, it's let's figure out channel market fit. Does this sell really well on Amazon or not? Mm-hmm. The answer is yes. Okay, cool. That's one channel. Can we get the yield that's profitable? It might not be as profitable as Amazon, but is it profitable nonetheless? Okay, cool. Meta works. I'm on TikTok. I know I have to create a bunch of content and there's costs associated with that. And the yield might not be as high. Okay, do we want to keep running ads on TikTok right mm-hmm. now? Maybe not. We take that money and put it in Google or Meta or Amazon.
Okay. I love that. And that was almost like the advanced answer that I wouldn't have even thought to ask. But I'm even wondering on a really basic level, as a business owner who's maybe not even sold a bunch of the product yet, do you recommend, I have a new product and bringing it to market, whether it's physical product, digital, do you recommend somebody testing and learning how to sell that via ads or waiting until they've made some money organically to actually start investing in turning on a funnel, turning on an ad funnel?
Yeah, I would err on the side of sell a few of the units, get some feedback, see if you can make it a little bit better or see if your reviews are good or not good. And when I say sell a few of the units, those units, friends and family, like, you know, make sense, but make sure you're getting harsh criticism and be okay with it, because it's only going to make your product or service better. Mm-hmm. And then folks that aren't friends or family, that is very important as well. And, you know, once you've sold a couple units, you understand the product, then turn on the funnel. I think that's how I would approach it. But, you know, there might be a world where it's like, hey, this is a digital product. And I have friends that, you know, have e-com businesses that started with running paid ads and they've grown their businesses a ton. But they've tweaked the product based on their reviews, right? So it's what's the feedback loop is essentially what I would say start with either way you decide to go. And the other question that is always going to come to mind is how much capital are you investing? If it's lower amount of capital, going the first way of working, trying to sell to friends and family and generate some revenue and reinvest is probably the better way to go, and then turning on ads. But if you have, you know, if your budgets are higher and you want to test, then okay, cool, like test, but maybe you don't have to spend the entire budget in 1 month. You spread it across a couple, 3 months. It's going to take you 3 months to properly learn what's going on in the plan.
Okay, that's good to know. And I found that to be true in any realm when it comes to business, bringing something to market. You do need to give yourself at least 90 days to understand and gather data so that you can start to make those educated decisions. Don't give up if it's not converting in the first 30, 60 days, because you're still learning at that point. Don't expect big conversions.
Yeah, I would just say on that part, understand what part of the funnel is not working. Are your costs too? Like, for example, if you're estimating I get 100 users to site and a 10% conversion rate on a $100 budget, like let's just say that's the number, but you only got 10 people to site, so your cost per click went from $1 to $10. That's like, oh, this is too expensive, you know? And to support $10, conversion rate needs to be 50% or something like that. It's just you have to look at the funnel and have a baseline goal. Like, if we're here, this is where we make money. If we're not here, what part is not there? Some parts might be better, other parts might be worse. It could even out. And if that's the case, okay, then work on like the funnel where maybe click-through rate's low. So we need better ads. We need to run video instead of just statics.
Yeah. What have you found? I'm just curious, just a fun question. When you're working with your clients and you finally hit that sweet spot, how long do you feel like you're able to maintain a sweet spot? But, and I know you're always over here testing, but how long have you found you've been able to just hold it and be able to really generate a lot of cash flow from when you've tweaked the landing page, you've gone through, you've done all the analyzing and you've gotten it to a sweet point? What for you, what's been like your favorite, or what's the typical? I don't even know if favorite or typical is the right question. But I'm just curious, like, how long can we hold on to those sweet spots?
Month and a half, like maximum. And maybe maximum is not the right word, but like
on average,
to find, if you find something that's working and you're scaling it, just know that at some point it's maybe not going to work because the season changed or something happened externally or the market's shifting. But like a month, month and a half. And in that month, month and a half, you're scaling, you're doing your thing. But as you're scaling, you know, you go from $100 to 10,000, take 1,000 of those dollars and test new things, iterate on that creative concept, test some new headlines, because you're going to outpace and be like revenue profitable, cash flow positive, however you want to spin it. But if that's not working, you're going back down to $100. So find the next thing, slowly build and take the stepping stair approach.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And I think it's an important question to ask, because if you don't know these things, if you're testing and you're doing stuff on your own and you're like, oh my gosh, it only worked for a couple of weeks, or it's only lasting for a month and then I have to bring in new creative or I have to revamp my strategy, you might feel like you're doing it wrong. But it's good to hear that somebody who's even doing it at the scale that you are still finds that there's a lot of work that has to continue to be done. It's not just turn on the funnel, turn on the ad and then walk away. and make $1 million overnight. It definitely takes continuous tweaking, which is probably why it's important to, if you're at a point where you can, work with an agency who can do that for you. And that's where it becomes truly passive, because you're not having to manage all of the little moving parts yourself. You're able to find somebody who's pretty knowledgeable about what needs to be done. And you work across multiple industries, it sounds like. We've talked about a few different, not specifically, but I can tell, product, digital, those kinds of things. Yep. And these principles apply no matter what industry you're in.
Yeah, 100%. They're going to apply, you know, across the board. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I've taken a hiatus from ads, but I've been toying around with it a little bit more, knowing there's so much potential here. And I think there was, after COVID, a little bit of a breakdown in when Meta made some changes. And I think I ran away screaming and never came back. But I know there's so much opportunity there. If you're willing to be strategic, it's definitely not just flip a switch and make tons of money. But what you're doing is really, really powerful, and what more people need to be doing, which is, you want to make $1 million. You want to be strategic. You want to build income. You have to do the work. And that's not just finding something to sell. It's knowing your numbers. It's taking the time to research and be strategic, be intentional, so that you can continue to scale that. I think we get really caught up in the micro, and you have to think big picture. You have to be patient, right?
Yeah. And also big picture, right? You might have goals, mm-hmm. and they're aggressive goals. And, you know, you're like, oh, I didn't hit my goals, but I grew 150% year over year. Yeah. You know, just big picture. So, like you said, sometimes you get caught up in the minutia of like, oh man, I'm like trailing goal by 5%, mm-hmm. or like I'm flat, or I'm behind 8%, or you're not really that far behind. It's like there's a small inflection point that we need to find somewhere and adjust to get you to that 8%. But also, how much did you grow year over year? Like January 2024 versus January 2023. Mm-hmm. And why did that growth occur?
Yeah.
Same thing with February, same thing with March. And then that's Q1. What is the story of Q1? Cool. What are we doing with this information into Q2? Mm-hmm. Right. So like stepping back and just taking a minute is always important.
Yeah. Big picture for future, big picture for the past and like present, so that you're not making crazy decisions based on one little micro failure or one thing that kind of changes or adjusts, because it's a long game. And I think that's the message we try to put out on this podcast, is success really is a long game strategy. We're not looking for overnight success. We're not trying to push anything like that. This is really all about being intentional, being strategic, and being in it for the long haul, because you can have so many cool opportunities down the line if you're just willing to do the work, test things. And I think that's an important concept too, that you've mentioned a few times, which is being willing to test. Don't expect immediate results. Always test. Even if it's organic, if it's the product you're trying to sell, if it's the business model you're trying to create, test doesn't mean throw it all out and start with a new business. Continue to test till you find what's working with the business model that you've chosen, and it's going to work out.
Yeah. And that's the beauty, you know, being an entrepreneur. It's all like, what is the puzzle we're solving?
Yeah.
And what part of the puzzle?
Yeah. What do you feel like, just to wrap this up with a bow, how would you define, in a word or in a phrase, your journey as an entrepreneur?
It is a hike through the mountains.
I love it. Sometimes it's pretty steep, and sometimes you have some nice scenery, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as you get past every peak, you know, sometimes you forget about, oh man, all the things we did to get here. Cause you're looking at the next peak. It's like, oh man, all the things I got to do. So it's important to just take a minute and reflect. And some folks do it more than others, and maybe not reflect too long, but just, okay, cool. We got here. Here's what we need to do to keep growing or sustain, you know? And it's important.
I love it. Sounds like you know your stuff. You've put in the work, you've put in the reps. The companies that you work with for sure are in good hands. I can tell, you know, your things. Not that this was a job interview of any sort, but I know enough to know you know what you're talking about. So I appreciate you coming and sharing some strategies with us and giving us some jumping off points for all of the people listening who might be exploring advertising to grow their businesses, to really minimize the cost of acquiring those new leads and those new customers. Thank you for being willing to open your brain up and give us some insight.
Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Thanks again, Hemant, for such an incredible episode. I learned so many things, and I'm definitely going to look further into using some ads in my own business with some of my offers. It's definitely a tried and true tested method, and it's something that you should explore if you're looking to make some more of that income more passive. And when I say passive, I mean you're still involved in your business. You can tell by listening to this conversation that there are so many little things that you have to be involved in and understand in the bigger picture and in the game of business. But using advertising and being able to pour fuel on that fire of what's working is such a fantastic way of scaling your income. I love that this conversation was honest. I love that we went into a lot of the nuance that people don't really consider when it comes to success. And I love that Hemant talked about goals and how important it is to look at your growth year by year, quarter by quarter, and not thinking that if you didn't hit your huge goal, that something's not working or that the entire thing isn't worth doing. It's so important that we pace ourselves and understand that this whole business thing is a long game strategy. It's important to understand your numbers. And as a person who really does geek out over the numbers game, I'm so excited that as a whole in the digital marketing space, we're getting so much more focused on the things that matter and that are measurable and scalable instead of just trying to throw more spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. So thank you again for bringing all that value today. I hope all of you guys learned something and that you have so many fantastic takeaways. Go check out Hemant's website if you want to learn more about what his agency does at digicom.io. And until the next episode, have a wonderful day.